Mind, I'll get you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Toby had asked me, did I have a good week and was I clear-minded? And I was until I got up here. But anyway, if you will, let's ask the Lord for His mercy. Gracious Father, we thank You for everything, Lord. We thank You for the Lord Jesus who was in all points tempted as we are. And Lord, there's nothing that we can go through in this life that He Himself hasn't been touched with. Lord, He knows what it's like to stand before people and declare Your holy word. And Lord Jesus, You know the assaults and the attacks from the wicked one. So we ask that You would overcome him this morning, because he is subject to Your power. And we ask that in Your mercy You would grant utterance, Lord, and that You would grant hearing. And that You would have a word to speak unto our soul. And that You would direct and guide our minds and hearts back to You. Have mercy upon us. We ask this in Your holy name. Amen. If you will, we'll read verse 6. And that's kind of where I would like to take my thought this morning. Larry, and finishing up, kind of touched on it a little bit. And I think the hymn was fitting as well. But the Lord said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He said, blessed. How fortunate. How well off and how happy are they that hunger, those that have a craving, those that are famished, and how fortunate are they that are athirst after righteousness, after justification. There's not a person here that has any righteousness of themselves. And our justification is in Him. Did you notice in the hymn that justified was capitalized? That is a person. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after Him. And if we have that, we have a promise from Him. I like the word shall when the Lord uses it. I like it when He says will. Because He said, for they that have this, they shall. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. And when He says that they shall, that's as sure as Him saying, let there be. And then there was. Now the question I would have for you this morning is, do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst after Him? Has there ever been a time in your life that, as the hymn we just sang, You had the joy and the fullness of the Lord. Sweet, intimate fellowship. And with that sweet, intimate fellowship with Him, through the reading of His Word, as Larry mentioned, or in prayer, or in fellowship with others, do you have that today? One, I would never want anybody to think that I stand up here and trying to... I'm just like you are. I want to do my part, so if I'm asked, I'm going to fill in. But we're all in the same boat. Me standing here sharing this with you this morning doesn't put me on any higher ground. So I've already been praying and asking myself this question. Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? And if I did, or if I do, well, if I did, then what's quenched that? I think we're in a pitiful situation as a whole when it comes to Christianity. And I don't see many that have a hunger and a thirst after the Lord Jesus, after being true as to the calling of being a true Christian. I like to think about an older generation sometimes, just thinking about their day. Not to say the third day was any easier, because they had it tough. But the thing that I always go to in my mind when I think about them is they just didn't have the distractions that we have. When they retired from the fields in the afternoon, they had time. Not that we don't. We've got the same amount of time that they did. But they didn't have distractions like we do. They had the afternoon to sit and meditate or to read the Word of God. They had time to fellowship with their family at the dinner table. And they had the early morning hours before daylight to have quiet meditation. But in the early 20s and 30s, we got a device called a radio. And by that radio, we was able to... Not that that's bad. There's good in these things. But it seems like the bad always outweighs the good. So they were able to listen to their president give a speech, and that's not a bad thing. And then they was able to listen to the Grand Ole Opry. Or Amos and Andy. That was a popular radio show. And then we come a little further along and then we get introduced to a TV. I think I read by 1953, half of America had a TV. So we were introduced to these things that started eating up our time. And in 1993, we got introduced to the World Wide Web. And I can remember, probably around 94, 95, someone mentioning that to me, and I had no idea what it was they were talking about. Because in our little area, that hadn't been introduced yet. And I read where they said that the average American spends 24 hours a week on the internet. That's roughly 3.5 hours a day. And then we got introduced to social media. Now, I'm not here to preach against social media. To each his own. But there's over 3 billion active users of Facebook. And nearly 3 billion to Instagram. And we wonder what happened to that hunger and thirst within. What happened to those cravings that we once enjoyed? We allowed other things to take that place. And we've changed our diet to eat junk rather than that provides health and strength. And we're all guilty. You know, just a little goes a long ways. And before you know it, it becomes your routine. And when we give ourselves to these things, we have no hunger. We have no desire for true prayer. Or reading of God's Word, because they take the place of that. Now, I'm not here to say, don't do it. It's between you and the Lord. But as the old man used to tell me, it's just food for thought. It's something to consider. And it's something that, for my own personal self, that I've been asking the Lord's help to overcome. Now, social media isn't my thing, but I like the radio. I've always liked music. But I can testify to the fact that if I give myself to it daily, it quenches that hunger. And it quenches the thirst. You come home from work, the mind's shot. It's easier to sit down in front of the TV. Or to scroll through a phone. Than it is to pick up God's Word and read it. Twenty-four hours a week. That's what that said. That we give ourselves 24 hours a week, 3.5 hours a day to such. little by little. And we wonder why the church is in the shape that she's in. It's just my opinion, but I think that's been one of Satan's greatest tactics, to rob us of our time. Baird had mentioned the other week of a great flood coming out of his mouth. So he's entered into our churches. And we've been carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we've digested that. And he's robbed us of our time. And we've digested the things that he's given us in place of where we should be. And we've grown very complacent. It's had an effect on all of us. And I keep sitting and waiting and wondering, how do we get back to where these earlier people were? They had nothing. They didn't have convenience. And I'm not saying I want to sell everything I've got and, you know, become a hermit. But I don't want these things distracting me anymore. We speak of God reviving His people. And I run across a quote from Mr. Tozer. And I think it pretty much sums it up. And I felt the conviction of his quote. He said, to desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion, it is to wish one way and to walk another. You can't have both. You can't have both. You can't have the world and have the Lord too. These are just some things that I've mentioned that could have quenched that. If you don't mind, I'll get you to turn to Numbers chapter 11. And if you will, we'll start with verse 4 and just read a few of these verses. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. The thing that really caught my attention in that was the mixed multitude. I just had never really given much thought of, and even though I've read that, there being others with the children of Israel there. But the mixed multitude had an effect upon the children of Israel. He said they fell a-lusting, and then the children of Israel also wept again. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You know, when I spend more time at work with three different men than I do in my own family. So there's a lot of different conversation. Now, thankfully, you know, it's not ugly talk or anything like that. But still, their lives have an effect on you. And it's something that must be guarded against. We all have religious family. There's always those that are super spiritual. And they have an effect upon us. And these things can quench that craving. It can quench the thirst. We were talking with the boys yesterday, somewhat along these lines. I don't remember how it came up. Well, yeah, I do, but I'd have to go around the world to get there. But I was telling them not to believe everything that you see. Don't follow people. You see all these people that have all these things, don't believe that that's really what it's presenting to you. Sometimes it's just a mirage. You see it, but it ain't there. The mixed multitude had an effect upon the children of Israel. I was thinking this morning along those lines, and it's like a chain reaction. Most especially among the kids, but I even notice it in adults. We was fixing some young guy's truck, and he had sent me a text, and his reply was, "Bet." And I had no idea what that meant. I had to ask the boys. It means okay. And I'll be honest, it kind of ticked me off when he done it. Because I was like, what in the world is he talking about? Bet. But he didn't mean anything smart by it. It's just their language. People have an effect upon us. And if we're not careful, we follow. If we give an inch, before you know it, they've taken a mile from us. I only bring this to you to challenge you, because it's something that I've been trying to do and challenging my own self. Do you see much advancement in yourself concerning spiritual things? And only you can answer that for yourself, like I've got to answer it for mine. Have we prospered in the way in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years or longer? Or do we see a bit of declension within our own self? not where we should be. I think Tim had asked that question sometime back. Have you advanced? I have to be honest, I'm not where I ought to be. And I don't know that we ever truly will be in this life. But we teach our kids to try to be all they can academically. We try to tell them to work hard at sports if that's their interest, or a job. And that's something I've really been trying to work with my two about is work. To develop a work ethic. But am I requiring that out of my own self spiritually? It's one thing to say, it's another thing to do. And I don't want to be to them, and I don't want to be to you, someone that says, you do as I say, not as I do. I want to be a doer. I want to put it into practice. Are you where you were 10 years ago? Or have we declined that far? The Lord said, if you are athirst, come unto me. And I believe the invitation is open today if I see that I don't, if I sincerely ask Him. Lord, I don't thirst. I don't hunger, but I pray to. Grant that I might hunger and thirst within. What would it be like if we as a body of people came in this morning hungering and thirsting, just wanting to hear from the Lord? Not because it was expected of us. Not because we felt the responsibility. But all we was looking to get back to the Lord's house. It would be a different environment. I had read something of, it was one of the, someone that had written, there was an observer at, during the time of Jonathan Edwards and the revival that they had. And they was talking about how it changed the hearts of those that come in informality and carelessness and coldness. And I believe it was Mr. Hughes, he was quoting somebody, and he said that revival normally comes in a time when there is spiritual decline, carelessness, and formality. Which to me, that gives me hope. Because I don't know that, I believe it will get worse in some respects. But I sure don't. I sure hope it doesn't get any worse as far as our attitude towards the Lord. If it starts with one, and it did during those times, it started with one. And then it led to another. Before you know it, you had a great awakening. I tried to read and find, you know, how many times that America actually saw a revival. And there's only two that I would say possible. Of course, during Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield's time, I believe it was. But there was also a time when a businessman in New York, and they've got a name for it, I don't remember what it was called, but he started daily prayer for the businessman there in New York. And it's an untold number. I'm talking about all different denominations, people going into church because of that one man that started praying during the day for the businessmen of that city. He saw the effects that it was having on their lives. And it changed people. I'm not saying every one of them, but it had an effect. So if one in your family that you could testify to, they truly had a hunger and thirst within. Then maybe it would change the whole family. Maybe the kids would have something to remember their parents by. And they could say, you know, I remember hearing my mom pray. I remember seeing my dad read the Word. Maybe that would have an effect upon their souls. I'm sure your kids do see that in y'all. I'm not saying that they don't. Gives a little different meaning to the word blessed. Because not many hunger and thirst, and the Lord said, how fortunate and how well off and happy are you if you do hunger and thirst. I'll close with one verse, and you don't have to turn. Revelation 20, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst, the fountain of the water of life freely. So I have that promise. If I am athirst, He will give it. If you will, let's ask the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we do ask that You would take this word and apply it unto our hearts. And Lord, I pray that I didn't hinder them in any way. Lord, take and use it and help us to consider it. Help us to consider our ways, Lord, and make our calling and election sure. Help us to stand before the mirror of Your holy word and Your Spirit. And Lord, let us come back to You with hungry hearts, desiring that we would be clothed by Your righteousness. Have mercy upon each and every one of us. We ask this in Your holy name. Amen.